Don't have the time or expertise to manage the maintenance of your general aviation aircraft? Hire someone who does. I'm Paul Plagg, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Mike Bush. Mike is known as an occasional ANN contributor. He's also the 2008 National Aviation Maintenance Technician of the Year. Is that right?
Absolutely correct.
Mike has won that award this year. He's known for his savvy aviation seminars, which we've talked about on Aero News in the past. And now he's leveraging all of his background and experience and name recognition, frankly, into a new venture called Savvy Aircraft Maintenance Management. Mike, welcome in.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Paul.
Let's talk about the origins of your Savvy Aviator Maintenance seminars, because that's kind of the foundation for what is going on now. Your premise, if I understand it correctly, is that general aviation has changed dramatically over the past 30 or 40 years, as has all aviation. However, every segment of aviation except general aviation has moved to a newer way of looking at maintenance requirements based on monitoring and assessing the health of aircraft systems rather than checking boxes off on a calendar.
Well, that's true. What you're talking about is something called reliability-centered maintenance, or RCM, which is really the science of optimizing a maintenance program to get the best possible maintenance for the least amount of labor and cost. And this technology, if you want to call it that, was originally developed about 40 years ago at United Airlines in the late 60s. And it quickly spread to throughout the air transport industry. And in the 70s, it spread to military aviation. And nowadays, RCM is used in all sorts of non-aviation settings as well, because it really applies to really any activity that is very maintenance intensive and very safety critical. So RCM nowadays is used in things like maintaining nuclear power plants and offshore oil platforms and oil refineries and water treatment plants and all sorts of things like that. But its origin was in the airlines. And it is now the way maintenance is done throughout the aviation industry, with the exception of general aviation. RCM is even used now for some of the larger biz jets, the Gulfstreams and the Citation 10s and so on are maintained using RCM principles. But for those of us at the low end of the aviation food chain like me, flying piston aircraft, this is something that's essentially unknown. And we still do things the old way, largely on a time-directed basis, where if you look at the service manual for your Cessna or your Bonanza or your Cirrus, it has page after page of tables that say we want you to do this every 50 hours and this every 100 hours and this once a year and so on and so forth, doing everything on specific timetables. And we are told to overhaul engines at a certain number of hours and to overhaul propellers at a certain number of hours, certain number of calendar years, things that are, again, scheduled on a fixed timetable rather than on the basis of doing condition monitoring and taking maintenance action only when that maintenance action is clearly required as a result of the condition monitoring program telling you that condition is deteriorated to the point that you need to do something about it.
I read your aircraft owner's briefing, which is available on the website at savvymx.com, and it makes perfect intuitive sense, Mike. I have to ask the other question that's probably occurring to a lot of people who are not intimately involved in aircraft maintenance. How far into this can we go without running afoul of regulatory requirements to honor manufacturers' recommended maintenance?
Well, that's very interesting, and this is something that I go into in quite a lot of detail in my seminars. We spend about a quarter of the weekend talking about regulatory matters, because this is something that most aircraft owners have no background in. It turns out that for Part 91 operators, which most of us are, that is people who are using their aircraft for personal and business use, but not for commercial purposes, not for carrying passengers for hire or that sort of thing, that for Part 91 operators, very, very little of what the manufacturer lays out in his maintenance program is required by regulation. We do not have to pay any attention to the timetables that the manufacturer sets forth in the maintenance manual. We don't have to comply with service bulletins if we don't want to. The FAA gives Part 91 operators huge latitude, so that if we want to develop our own maintenance program and disregard the manufacturer's maintenance program, that's perfectly okay from a regulatory standpoint. There are a few exceptions to that. For example, some of the newer aircraft like the Cirrus and the Columbia and the Diamond that were certificated under Part 23, if you look at their service manual, there's a small section that's typically just a page or two long called airworthiness limitations. And anything in the airworthiness limitations section is required by regulation, so we have to do it. Also, anything that's required by airworthiness directive, of course, is compulsory, and we have to do it. But with those two exceptions, and just about only those two exceptions, a Part 91 operator is at liberty to maintain the aircraft as he sees fit. He can use the manufacturer's recommendations if he likes. He can depart from them if he likes, and it's really not an issue. So there's no requirement that we overhaul engines at TBO, for example. In fact, the engines on my Cessna 310 are presently 900 hours past TBO and doing just fine, thank you very much. So we do have a lot of liberty. That flexibility that we have stops when you get into multi-engine turbine aircraft or when you get into large aircraft that are over 12,500 pounds. And for aircraft that are either multi-engine turbines or over 12.5, then we have to do things using a manufacturer-recommended program. But for anything smaller than that, up to and including single-engine turbines, even the forthcoming Diamond Jet and Cirrus Jet, for example, we have tremendous latitude in how we do the maintenance from a regulatory standpoint.
My guest is Mike Bush. We're talking about Savvy Aircraft Maintenance Management, which he's just started. We'll be back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed come standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9000 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. Clarity Aloft headsets employ patented Comply Canal tips composed of soft viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. More than simple earplugs, these foam tips provide full-spectrum noise reduction and outstanding attenuation. This advanced technology is lab-tested, proving that viscoelastic passive noise reduction is superior to active noise reduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking today with Mike Bush, who's just launched Savvy Aircraft Maintenance Management, offering professional maintenance management to owners of small general aviation aircraft. Mike, let's get into why most general aviation aircraft owners don't attempt reliability-centered maintenance on their own. Anybody who has the brain power to write out a check for an aircraft can follow a calendar. Not everybody who's qualified to own an aircraft or fly one is qualified to manage a program that's done on this basis of spectrographic oil analysis and monitoring the data from your engine computer and that sort of thing. This is where you guys come in.
Well, that's true, and there's we come in two different ways. As you pointed out, I kind of started out into this doing these seminars to try to teach aircraft owners how to do this job properly. One of the ironies of the aviation system is that virtually everyone in aviation goes through training and certification except for aircraft owners. Pilots do, aircraft air traffic controllers do, mechanics do, parachute riggers do. Virtually everybody in aviation goes through training and testing and certification to make sure they know how to do their job. The one exception to that is aircraft owners. Aircraft owners become aircraft owners by writing a check, and they go through no training, no testing, no certification, and so that they typically become aircraft owners without ever learning how to do the job that an aircraft owner has to do, which is to manage the airworthiness of an aircraft.
And that's a regulatory issue. That is not up to anybody else when it comes down to it.
That's right. Part 91, subpart E, spells out all of the aircraft owner's responsibilities, and they're really quite weighty responsibilities. Yet there is no training for aircraft owners that is required, and most aircraft owners never get any training. Most aircraft owners learn how to be aircraft owners by making mistakes, the school of hard knocks, if you will. And if you own a high-performance, complex aircraft, the tuition for the school of hard knocks can be very expensive indeed. So that's what motivated me to start doing these seminars, which I've been doing now for a little over 4 years. I've put about 1,000 owners through the class. And we spend a very, very intensive weekend, 17 hours of training, learning all about how to be a savvy aircraft owner, maintenance decision-making, regulations, troubleshooting, all kinds of stuff is in this weekend. It's a very, very intensive weekend. And in the course of teaching the seminar for the last 4 years and putting 1,000 aircraft owners through it, what I discovered is that some aircraft owners take to this stuff very, very well. And they come out of their weekend of training all fired up and start actively managing the maintenance of their aircraft and getting really spectacular results in terms of both improved reliability and greatly reduced expenses. But there are also a lot of aircraft owners that weren't really cut out to do this job for one reason or another. Many aircraft owners, particularly owners of higher performance aircraft, are just too busy to do this job. And it's one that takes a lot of time and effort and involvement to do it right. And there are a lot of people who own rather expensive aircraft, and the reason that they could buy that very rather expensive aircraft is that they're very, very busy making money or raising a family or doing both. And these people just can't take the time that it takes to do the management job correctly. And then there are other people who have a problem doing the job because, frankly, they have a hard time directing their mechanics as to what to do. They're so used to taking direction from mechanics rather than giving direction that they just have a difficult time doing that job, because it takes a certain amount of assertiveness training, if you will, to do it correctly.
Well, it takes a certain amount of expertise. Even going in to get your car worked on now, you know, most of us, even those of us who used to be shade tree mechanics, get into a world now where, you know, the diagnostic computer is saying X, you need to do this. You know, I mean, what do you say?
You're absolutely right, and the parallel is very, very good. So, at any rate, out of seeing the results of these classes and seeing that some owners do the job of management well and some owners don't, for either because they're time limited or because they just have a hard time playing that role, it became clear that that for that second class of owners, having the option of hiring a professional to do it for them, to do the job that really is the aircraft owner's job to do, would be a very attractive thing. And we know from experience that that doing the management job right will save so much money in maintenance costs that we feel quite confident that by hiring a professional to do the job, the owner actually winds up being money ahead because we save them more money each year than what we charge them to perform a management function, which is actually a fairly modest fixed fee. It's kind of like when you decide to hire a tax preparer to do your taxes rather than to prepare them yourself. You figure if the guy's any good at all, he's going to save you more in taxes than what he charges you to prepare your returns. And then if, God forbid, you wind up getting audited, he's there to deal with the IRS so that you don't have to. And so what we do for aircraft owners with regard to maintenance is very, very much the same sort of thing.
Sounds almost like the business model of a lot of interior decorators. You know, I mean, theoretically, if you work with somebody who has relationships with the places where you'll buy the things you need to furnish your home, you know, they can get you, you know, it'll come out at least a wash on cost. And then there are some side benefits, such as you'll have a better looking home. In this case, even if it comes out, you know, as a wash, you're going to get increased reliability out of it.
Absolutely. I can't speak for the interior decorator analogy because I don't have any experience with that. I have plenty of experience with tax preparers, however.
Well, if you could see the inside of my studio here, you'd know I have no experience with interior decorators either, Mike. Well, listen, let's get into some of the we've talked about Sam a little bit. Let's talk about specifically what it costs and where listeners could get more information. It looks as though it's in the $500 to $1,000 a year range for the typical single-engine piston aircraft operator. Start by telling us what aircraft are eligible for this program.
Well, we deal with aircraft from the most basic single-engine piston aircraft up through single-engine turbines, single-engine turboprops, and eventually single-engine jets when they start becoming available. But our core, I think that the core group that the service will probably appeal to, at least to begin with, are higher performance piston singles and piston twins, and to some extent single-engine turboprops. And we charge a fixed annual fee, a flat rate fee, to do the management that is based on the complexity of the aircraft. Essentially, a simple single-engine fixed-gear aircraft is $500 a year to manage the maintenance. For a retractable or a technically advanced single like a Cirrus or Columbia, it's $750 a year, and for a piston twin, it's $1,000 a year.
Okay, and who is eligible for this? I mean, you mentioned who the principal target of it is. What about users like, for example, small flight schools? Is there any kind of a program set up for them? Because I know some of these guys, you know, just are covered up with time demands and have aircraft that, you know, that could really benefit from this type of attention.
Well, actually, we've not dealt with any fleet aircraft yet. Most fleets have their own director of maintenance, who is presumably somebody who's an A&P and trained in this thing. We certainly could do that, but that's not really the primary group that we're looking at. We're really looking primarily at owner-flown aircraft, where the owner is really has the monkey on his back to manage the maintenance, and most owners don't have the training, and many owners don't have the time to do that.
Well, Mike, speaking of time, we're flat out of it for today. I had wanted to get into how the relationship with the shops will work and how you'll manage that too, and how you think it'll be received. Could I impose on you to come back tomorrow and continue the conversation?
Sure.
Mike Bush's new venture is called Savvy Aircraft Maintenance Management. And you can find out more on the web while you're in suspense waiting for the rest of our conversation tomorrow by visiting Mike's new website at savvymx.com. It's www.savvymx.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.